regulations expert Jerry Ellig was acting director of the Federal Trade Commission's Office of Policy Planning under George W. Bush. He's now a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University and joins us now to talk about the Spring Unified Agenda. Good morning, Mr. Ellig.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for being here. So just glancing over the introduction to this year's plan, in fact, it says many rules in these unified regulatory agendas are never issued, certainly not in the first year and might afterwards and might not be issued at all. So what is the significance of a compilation like this?
Well, the purpose of the regulatory agenda is to let Congress and the public know what kinds of actions agencies are considering well in advance before the agencies do it. And this is supposed to include regulatory actions, but also any deregulatory actions. If an agency is maybe reviewing a regulation and trying to figure out whether it's still needed. In either case, it's supposed to let Congress and the public know what is the agency thinking of doing, how is the agency thinking about a problem, and what are they considering, so that then Congress and members of the public have plenty of time to think about what they might want to say to the agency.
Now, the idea of early release, is that really an issue? Because doesn't federal rulemaking rules require a certain period in which people can comment anyway?
Well, here's how the federal rulemaking process typically works. Most rules are issued through what's called the notice and comment process. And so the agency puts out a proposed rule and gives the public 60 or maybe 90 days to comment on the rule, and then the agency considers those comments and issues a final rule. But as someone who has frequently commented on agency regulations and done studies of the effects of regulations, I can tell you that 60 or 90 days is not a lot of time for someone to understand a regulation, analyze what it does, and then provide any kind of new information or data that might be of use to the federal agency that's issuing the regulation. I've spent a lot of time reading proposed regulations and evaluating the quality of analysis that federal agencies do. And the most important thing the public could provide in these regulatory proceedings is new data, new information. That takes longer than a few months to put together.
How long does it take to actually understand what could happen, plan a thorough response to it?
Well, it depends on which particular regulation you're talking about and how extensive it is and how complicated it is. I mean, there are some regulations that, you know, really takes an expert to understand, and, you know, people may study the topic for a couple of years before they feel like they've fully understood the extent of all of the likely consequences. And even then we miss some. A few years ago in the Journal of Law and Economics, which is a peer-reviewed economics journal, published an article that found out one of the effects of the post-9/11 improvements in airport security was to increase highway fatalities because people substituted driving for flying on short trips because flying was such a hassle. And I think this is a consequence that's a very unfortunate one, and one that nobody considered in the rush to, quote, do something about Homeland Security.
Now, looking at the introduction to the 2012 regulatory plan that the administration just put out, which Darrell Issa and Elijah Cummings say is 9 months late, there's a paragraph buried down in there that says the number of economically significant actions is down from how many we had earlier, 128 versus 145. And it says it's notable that the number of such rules has not grown, even taking into account the Affordable Health Care Act and the Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, Dodd-Frank and so forth. So these were both controversial laws, continue to be controversial, and the idea of having the cost on industry being controversy. Is it common for that kind of politics to be in these documents from administrations?
Well, for the benefit of listeners, let me explain first what economically significant regulations are. Those are the really big regulations that have larger than $100 million of annual benefits or costs or certain other types of impacts. And just counting the number of those regulations doesn't really tell us a lot about the planned regulatory burden because You know, as long as it's over $100 million annually, it's economically significant, but it might be $101 million a year, it might be $1 billion a year, or it might be $10 billion a year, either costs or benefits. So to really understand the effects that the regulations are going to have, we need to do more than just count them. And so, you know, those kinds of assertions are really common in Washington when, you know, people want to kind of spin something. But, you know, I look at, all right, what do the regulations actually do rather than how many of them are there?
We're speaking with Jerry Ehlig, a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. So just glancing over the unified agenda that was released last week, does anything jump, or I should ask you, what jumps out at you about it? Any particular regulations or any way that it was crafted?
Well, I have to admit, like many of your listeners and like many other folks who may be readers of the Unified Agenda, I didn't block out any time, you know, during the holiday week when people are doing things with family, just in case this was released on Christmas Eve. So at the moment, I'm going to have to plead ignorance on that one.
All right. So it does. But I mean, this is not unique, this process of putting it out at a time when people might not read it, and the inclusion of all this couched language. That's not unique to this administration, though, is it?
Well, I can't claim to have made a systematic study of it, but I think in any administration, you can point to examples of where, you know, things were released on Friday afternoons or weekends or holidays or whatever. And, you know, I study the effects of regulation and the regulatory process, so I'm not going to speculate on people's political motives. All I can tell you is what the effect of something like this is, which is to make the public less informed and apparently to make, I keep saying Congress and the public, because that is the language in the executive order governing regulatory review that explains why the agenda is put together. And apparently some members of Congress were disappointed too.
And you know, give us a few tips for just kind of looking through this massive document. I mean, what in particular should we be looking for as we look through the introduction and the specific sort of bullet items under each department?
Well, really, the executive order that lays out how this is supposed to be put together distinguishes between two kinds of regulations. For all regulations, the agencies are supposed to explain the legal authority for the regulation, list all of the regulatory or deregulatory actions that they have underway, and also for each one include the name and phone number of a person who is knowledgeable about the regulation, so that if a member of the public who's concerned wants to find out more, they know who to look for. In addition to that, for the most significant regulatory actions, and there isn't really a clear definition of what that means in the executive order, but for the most significant regulatory actions, the agency is also supposed to include a statement of need that basically explains the problem it's trying to solve with the regulation, why the regulation is necessary. The agency is also supposed to take a crack at least mentioning the alternative possible solutions and possibly some preliminary benefits and costs of alternatives. So for the really important regulations, those are the things folks should look for, first of all, to see if that information is there, and second of all, to see, you know, does it look like there might be some areas where the agency could use some help, some additional data, some additional analysis, because this agenda gives, you know, enough advance, it's supposed to give enough advance notice and lead time, so that, you know, people could do additional study and work, and then when the agency issues an actual proposal, the study and analysis that other folks have done can go into the public record.
And where do regulations tend to originate? Do they originate with the administration because it has an agenda that it comes in with, or do they tend to bubble up from the standing workforce that has expertise in all the domains where regulations take place, or is it a combination?
Well, in the most general sense, any regulation has to originate with an act of Congress because despite some of the political hyperbole, any regulation that's legal has to somehow be grounded in a law somewhere. Now, agencies often have a lot of discretion about what regulations they will issue or how far they will go or what methods they'll use, how they'll write the regulation. And It's really a mixture. Sometimes those ideas originate specifically with agencies. Other times, though, it's more of a top-down process. I know Chris Conover, who's a healthcare economist down at Duke University, and I last year, we did a study on how some of the initial regulations implementing the Affordable Care Act were put together. And in that case, it appears to have been much more of a top-down process where they were directed from the White House rather than sort of bubbling up through the Department of Health and Human Services. And actually, Elena Kagan, now on the Supreme Court, formerly worked on regulation in the Clinton administration, wrote a big article in the Harvard Law Review claiming that this was the Clinton administration's big innovation in regulation, which was the White House actually directing agencies to issue regulations and kind of orchestrating the regulatory process, where previous administrations, the president had reviewed agency regulations but hadn't really been active in originating them.